Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Gaining Perspective. I'm your host, Andrea Ruckelman, here on the Life Coach Radio Network of Blog Talk Radio. Today's episode is getting the new year off to a healthy start. And I'd like to welcome my guest, Bernadette Armiento. She is the founder of Shining Life Nutrition. Hello, Bernadette. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Andrea. Happy New Year. I am so happy to be here with you today. Thanks for having me.
I am definitely excited to have you on the show today for more than one reason. Just to give my audience a little bit of your background, and I'll add why I'm so excited to have you here. Bernadette is a certified health and holistic coach. She's dedicated to inspiring and empowering busy midlife women who are overstressed, overweight, and under-supported to feel great in their bodies, be easier on themselves, and learn to love their lives on their own terms. And I can attest to that. Bernadette is a graduate of the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, is an authorized OASIS in the Overwhelmed Trainer, and a certified yoga synthesis instructor. She created Shining Life Nutrition to be your one-stop resource for women who want to be healthy, vibrant, energetic, sexy, and fit. We've all got a lot to accomplish still, so she wants to help you get started and get going. And personally, for me, she is one of the people that I have to thank for my life, because I would probably not be on this show today if it wasn't for her asking me one simple question in my life just about 6 years ago next month. The simple question was, why not? And I never had an answer, a realistic answer to her why not question of something that she challenged me on. And how my life has changed in the 6 years since I've known her. So I'm really honored to have her here as my guest, as someone who has made a huge difference in my life. So seriously, thank you so much for being here with me today, Bernadette.
Oh, Andrea, you know it is my pleasure. I'm cavelling here, as they say, just having watched you change your health and change your life and really step into a fantastic career that you're meant to do and just challenge yourself in so many ways and really, really thrive and improve your health. It's been a pleasure watching your journey, and you have been like the perfect client for me, because you are just you know, I give you a challenge and you go and do it and make it even bigger and better. So it really is really a pleasure and an honor for me to be here too and to be collaborating with you on this. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, it's like one of those things in life where you have to pay it forward, and you have so many wonderful gifts, and I'm so glad that I get to share it with my audience today. And so I want to kind of give an idea to our audience of what we're going to talk about. So, you know, the questions that I'll pose to them is, are they tired of unhealthy food choices? Are you tired of feeling drained, tired, or ill? You know, what are the habits that you're thinking about in 2014? Have you often said to yourself, I don't have enough time. I need to lose weight, but I don't have time to make healthy decisions or work out or any of that. You don't understand my schedule. But I always feel guilty when I'm grabbing something to go, or I never seem to be doing enough because I'm just too busy doing. I know I should be exercising, but pick A, B, C, D, E1, 2, 3 as your excuse. Or I'm still starting to feel my age. And for women, sometimes that's those hot flashes, some night sweats, other menopause symptoms, and you really start feeling the effects of what unhealthy choices mean. And maybe now, in general, if you're a man or a woman, you just don't like how you feel inside or outside, and you look in the mirror and you're sucking that gut in and you're doing the side stance and you're twisting and churning. Well, today we are going to help you challenge yourself and start changing your way of thinking to get on the road to feeling confident, at ease with your food choices, picking simple exercises, and enjoying this process along the way. So for those of you who are listening, if you want to call and ask Bernadette any questions on health, nutrition, health, physical activity, please give us a call at 646-716-9397. And if you choose to stay anonymous, you could send us a message in the chat room if you're a member of Blog Talk Radio. Or you could tweet to us using hashtag Gaining Perspective, and our Twitter handle is @CoachHostRadio. So we'll also be, as I like to say, finding those tweetable moments and tweeting some of our messages out to you today. So again, if you're interested in calling, that's 646-716-9397. So Bernadette, to kick this off, I want to think about food choices. Because people always seem to be stuck in this cycle of it's a diet, let's gain the weight, it's a diet, let's gain the weight, et cetera. What do you think keeps them on this Ferris wheel?
All right, I hear, and that's a great question, Andrea. The thing that I have found is that people are afraid of change. They want change. They say they want change, but they get a little nervous about it because, let's face it, it's giving up an old habit. It's giving up the familiar. It's kind of stepping over the edge, even if it maybe is something as simple as changing up your food, relatively simple, as changing up your food. But it can be very frightening if food has, like, been your friend and comfort and constant in your life. So it can be a little scary to think about making that move. And what I work on with clients is to educate people about some really delicious alternatives that, to the foods that they may be used to. So, we tend to revert to the familiar or too much maybe of the familiar overeating of a food that might even just be healthy to satisfy old cravings. Sometimes what we're craving is just like from the past. It doesn't really have anything to do with the present. So it's really, I really work first with getting people to be in the present. What is it that they're really feeling now? What are the good things? What are the challenges? And what's their diet like right now and their lifestyle? So how can you make those changes? I also really focus on making small changes over time. Some people have the diet philosophy of, okay, you got to throw out all the bad and just start eating, like rabbit food. That's the image maybe some people have about quote-unquote diets. I really like to focus on making small changes. That could just be, okay, you like broccoli? Why don't you try some cauliflower? Just change it up a little bit. Add something new in. I really like to focus on adding in rather than just taking away. Some people, aren't really great with the all-or-nothing approach, most people, I find. So I really focus on small changes. That way people can have successes. They can start experiencing new foods and new behaviors and then feel good about it and really kind of build on that. Unless you're really facing a very serious health crisis, which, demands a full, 180 change, we can do that slowly and make it be fun. Try to make it be a fun and adventure. I like to have fun. Most people do, and I want to kind of bring fun into people's lives and pleasure in a very healthy way around food and eating.
Yeah, I think that's great because I always talk about on my show how my number one value in life is fun. I want to have fun no matter what it is I'm doing. And it's kind of true. The diet industry, and what I hate about it is that they call it a diet industry. We are so focused on eating is about you're either eating whatever you want or you're on a diet. And I think it's time that people need to start changing that thought process. And if you think of a diet, you're not having any fun with it, And I look at what you do and the small changes you help people make is about having fun with food, looking at something different. And what do you think about the way the industry and society has people thinking about it's all or nothing? And how do you help people get out of that thinking?
Right. I agree that the all or nothing, it certainly doesn't work for me personally. I get a little resistant. I get a little like, you're not going to tell me what to do, and I think a lot of people are like that, just to try to be honest. I try to bring also when I'm working with people, kind of a lot of myself, as a person in how I work. I think that makes me believable and effective. As I said, unless you have a very serious health issue where you really, your life does depend on what you eat, but sometimes it depends a lot more than others. So you really need to make some immediate changes if you want to live. I'm not talking necessarily about being there. But I'd like to people where they are, wherever they are, whatever changes they can make. I've worked with some very, very highly motivated people who who are like, if you tell me not to drink coffee, I'm never drinking coffee again. I'm never drinking soda again. Other people, for them, that can really be, okay, well, I'm going to start drinking decaf coffee. I'm just using that as an example. You know, maybe one or two cups a week will be decaf, and I'm going to transition very, very slowly. So it's a question of figuring out where people are, what changes they're capable of making, and then working along a continuum. I'd like to build on successes. So if you've been drinking 5 cups of coffee a day, which can be very taxing on the system, taxing on the adrenal glands, very, very draining on the body, and we work together and you tell me, okay, well, I'm down to 2. You're still drinking coffee, but hey, you're moving in the right direction. So it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. And you really kind of build on successes, making certain transitions so that we quote-unquote crowd out foods that maybe are less health supportive to you and that you really start to grow to love foods that are more, more health supportive and that can serve you better. And not to mean you can't have some of the other things, but just to maybe have less of them or they become sort of less compelling and less sort of like a magnet sometimes. I feel like foods really, I think other people can relate to this, foods can really speak to you. They're like beckoning you. Jeanine Roth calls them beckoners or hummers. You know, they just kind of, pull you. We want to kind of take orange out of food. So it's just food, and you can enjoy it for what it is and the pleasure that it does bring, and also the health benefits that other new foods that you learn can bring.
Yeah, it's funny when you talk about the way foods are like, almost call to you, those that you just can't give up. And, I've always admitted my biggest weakness is Doritos. I don't know why.
Oh,
I don't know what
yes,
it is.
Yes, yes, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but there's just something about it. And I'm like, if I'm looking at a bunch of chips on a rack, I'm going to go for the Doritos. And I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to have this for myself. But, it was part of the aspect of, why do I crave it? To this day, sometimes I still don't know why. Sometimes it's I just need something salty, an understanding if that's what it is. Am I depleted on water that I'm just craving something more salty that's going to hold something in? But really trying to understand and talk to myself about why it is I crave what I do. Like in the summer, I crave fruit like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
I want peaches. I want strawberries. I want plums. I want pineapple, mango, everything that there is, and I'll just eat fruit all day long, which, even though it sounds good, isn't necessarily good either to be doing, but it is what it is. But you had made some good points. What I love that you were saying before is that, okay, so you're making a simple choice. Don't have 5 cups a day. Go for 4 cups or 3 cups or just make a simple change. And with this experience that you're telling people to cut something out or just add one little thing in, how long do you see this process is that it takes for people to accept it and not think about it as it's all or nothing and that they slowly progress in their changes?
That's an interesting thought. Everybody's different. And one of the things I really try to do with my programs is I try to really, as I said, reach the person where they are and figure out how to get them to where they want to go. It might not necessarily be, on the same timetable as, the next person coming down. So that's the fun part about it, is figuring out what's really going to get them motivated. I have to find, though, if I had to make a broad assessment, it really takes like 3 to 6 months to make some long-term changes to where it stops feeling like you're thinking about it all the time. Wait a minute, I'm not eating a bag of Doritos a day anymore. I'm not really eating them at all. I don't really think about them anymore. When before that was, maybe a huge thing. I'm not talking about you necessarily, but just as an example. It really depends on the person. And sometimes we revert back. We slip back a little bit. Something happens. We get a little stressed out or you're get off your schedule, if you will, and it's the best. My whole thing is you just have to kind of get back on it so that more times than not, you're making healthier choices. Again, not about it's got to be 100%. If you're at 52%, 60%, 80%, build that up. you know, making healthier choices, you have room for the other times. You have room for the celebrations and the splurges and the, you know, emotional eating that, you know, can creep back into a lot of our lives, myself included. So, yeah, it takes longer than people might think for most people. As I said, some people, see, I had a client once, a male, actually. I suggested he switch from, you know, like a caffeine to decaf. He cut it out altogether. He was drinking all this Red Bull. He totally stopped. He said, I'm going to stop. I'm like, okay, great, awesome, good for you, you know. And he did, and it completely, you know, that's where he was. That's where his head was at. That was great. Somebody else, that kind of change could take longer. And then people resist because I'm asking them to, you know, do something different, but that's why they come to me, you know, to have that accountability. So just figuring out where people need to be and how they need to get there.
You know, and you were touching upon the emotional eating, and I want to touch upon that later, but one of the things that you taught me and I still use to this day, and I want you to touch upon how you make people think about this, is the how do you feel when you eat something? And how does it feel right away, an hour later, the next day? That whole concept, because honestly, in my life, you totally blew me away with how I thought about food. And there are so many things I do not eat now in my life, like pickles. And Snooki would be so upset with me. But I cannot eat pickles anymore because of the way that I learned that my body does not like them. And it fell upon it by accident. But it was just really interesting. So I started paying attention to other things. So how did you come up with that whole concept of thinking about how does the food make you feel?
Right. Well, that's something that's just so important. At the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where I was trained, we focus a lot on these kind of primary food aspects. You know, and it's not just the calories in, calories out. It's really about what are the effects that foods are having on us. A food could be perfectly healthy. There's nothing inherently wrong with pickles, right? But for you, for other, you know, it's not working. It's not good. And so many of us have gotten into kind of the stuck place that we get around food and dieting and overweight and everything because we're not paying attention, because we're not conscious. So much of this work is about getting conscious. It's slowing down the eating process. It's slowing down the choice process. It's tuning into how you feel. Sometimes we just snarf down food, you know, and we don't even, you don't even realize you've eaten the whole bag or the whole dish or whatever. We're not conscious about it. So we're certainly not conscious then of how it makes us feel. And so, you know, I certainly experience this myself. As I said, I bring a lot of my own experiences and my own ups and downs with food and emotional eating and weight gain and loss and building and exercise, you know, to my work with people. I'm pretty transparent about, you know, my own work. And so that's why it's really important to tune into how it makes you feel. And once you start cleaning up your diet a little bit by maybe adding in, I'll say, healthier food choices, limiting some of the really strongly flavored, you know, fat and sugar and salt and caffeine, you kind of clean it out a little bit, you start to sense your body levels out, and you really start to feel, when I have this, I feel really great. Or when I have that, I don't really feel good. You know, like the experience that you had with pickles. You know, you notice that because maybe you stopped eating so many Doritos. You could tell that that wasn't, you know, that you had a reaction to this particular food. I also want to get back, talk about this an hour later, like just using, again, the Doritos as the example since you brought it up. The other challenge that we have around a lot of this is that processed foods like chips, like, you know, frozen dinners and, you know, fast food, you know, those are really engineered to make us kind of addicted to them. They often taste really good. They may have healthy, fun associations, like maybe, you know, eating chips at parties, you know, at college or something like that. But they're really engineered, to make us kind of addicted to them and want more. And they taste good, and they're often very cheap. So that's a whole other topic. But it is, to me, it really, really plays in. That's why it's important to start, if people are not doing this, to develop a diet that's cleaner of less highly processed food. Can really, really help, and that change can be enormous just on its own. And then you figure out what's going to really work.
Wow, yeah, and it's funny because, you know, I've heard that before, and I've seen the television things and all, they do these artificial flavors or natural flavors that are added, and when I see natural flavors that are added, I'm like, well, what does that really mean? And I'm not telling people about become one of those label inspectors and see everything that is going on with it, and I just, it's true, though, because sometimes you really do wonder, I wonder what's in this. And, you know, what is it about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are studies. There's proof. There was a huge article not too long ago in the New York Times about, you know, these food scientists. You know, they're making food that's addictive. It's just like the way they do with cigarettes. You know, they put things in cigarettes that are, you know, make tobacco more addictive. There are things in, like, processed food. I think it was Lunchables, actually. I hope no one on this call is eating Lunchables or feeding them to their children. But those little packaged meals. You know, they're designed, they're loaded with chemicals, and with the combination of fat, sugar, salt, they can make you really hooked on it. You have to be careful. And I think you don't have to get too crazy with labels and being, you know, ultra, ultra strict, but it is important to start tuning. I always think just come back to the idea of tuning in and slowing down. You know, tuning into what's on your plate, tuning into the food in your refrigerator, in your cabinets, in your pantry, what your kids are eating.
I really want to point out to our listeners, we are not trying to say to you, cut out everything that you're eating. Everything is bad that's in a package. What we're just trying to say is just think about what it is that you're eating. You know, why can't you switch out the packaged meat for real sliced turkey or, you know, real sliced chicken versus what you're seeing in these packaged deals that are full of the nitrates and things like that? So this is not about judging what you're eating, but it's just trying to give you, planting thoughts about what are our choices and how simplistically can we make a bit of a change to make us feel a little bit better. The sugar, the salt, the all of that kind of stuff helps weigh us down emotionally, mentally, and then we find ourselves turning to food in those emotional states, and then you end up feeling guilty about the decisions that you have made. And so I kind of want to use this as that segue. We'll stick with the food part because I do want to get into talking about the exercises and changing in your habits when it comes to exercise and fitness. But since we did touch upon it and all these things that attach to us, you're already feeling bad. You're wondering why you're sluggish. And then you're upset. You're too tired. You don't want to go work out. And you just want to sit there and you find what's quickest. You get the takeout food. You order the food, buy the food in the market that's pre-made and processed. You know, how do you, when people are in that mode, they're already depressed and they're making the poor food choices. All right, let me not label it as poor food choices. They're making food choices. They could make ones that are a healthier option that are simplistic. What is the connection?
There's a big connection there. I think of it as, you know, you get kind of on this little downward spiral, you know, and you could stop it and you can change it and you can take steps to do that, I think, at any point. And what I really try to focus on with people is you just want to choose to make it a simple change. Again, not all of it at once. You could be in a very difficult place, but what is one thing you can do right now to improve how you feel? Because sometimes I find people aren't just hungry for food, you know. They're hungry for so many other things. Sometimes when we're craving those carbs, we want the chips, we want this fast food, we're really, really just tired, and we need to sleep more. So how can you fit that in? How can you do that? You know, it might not be quit your job and, you know, move to an ashram. It may be, you know, unplug earlier from the TV and electronics and go to sleep a little sooner. You know, it may be, you know, you have time to cook on one day of the week. You know, on a Sunday, you make a big pot of chicken soup and you freeze it and you eat it all week. Or you eat it a couple of times during the week so you have this nice, warm, comforting, home-cooked food that you can, you know, that you can enjoy. That kind of, what's one thing that you can do today, right now, to make that change? And, yeah, people just want to check out. So, again, it comes back to choosing to be conscious. And it's really important to slow it down and know what you're doing and to know that you always have a choice. That's one thing that I'm very clear about with my clients. When I teach classes, you always have a choice. You may think you don't have any choices, but you have a choice. And you can choose at every moment, you know, how you want to go. Can maybe change everything and make everything perfect, but there's, you know, in a moment you can do something to make a shift. You know, even if it's just changing your attitude about it.
If you don't mind, I want to interrupt you for 1 second on that, because you talk about it's a choice, and people often think that eating is out of their control. And when something is out of their control, it's not their choosing. They don't get to make that decision. It's overcome them. So I just want to stop and say and challenge your talking on that so we can address it, because there's someone that is probably listening that's saying, it's not always my choice. I have to make for my family. I have a family of 5, 3 kids and a husband and 2 dogs, and I just got to do what's easy for me. It's not my choice, because everyone has a different taste buds and nobody likes all the same food. Can we address that for a moment?
Sure. Absolutely, and that is a very, very real, that is a very real challenge. I would say to that person, and, you know, I'm not being sexist, but it's often the mom, it's often the mother, working or not, who has to figure that out. And a way that I really suggest, again, is to slow it down. How can you make it simple for yourself? Does it all have to fall on you? Can you get some help, meaning help within your family to, you know, prepare a delicious meal? Get the kids involved in helping you get that done. Really kind of breaking things down into small parts, and this is something that I would do working directly with somebody, is how do you kind of break it down, looking at your schedule, looking at your life, what is going to work for you, where are those sticky spots, and how can you make a change? You know, are you cooking, you know, 4 meals for 5 people? That happens a lot in households. You know, how can you make that simpler so there is something for everyone to enjoy? I think we can work on that, and we can figure that out, and you can slowly transition your family to doing that, for example. You know, what's a way to prepare, you know, a dinner where everybody kind of puts their food together, like making a taco bar or something, a healthy taco, you know, taco salad bar or something like that, where you can really put something together and it would be fun, and everybody gets to choose from a group of things to make it easier. How can we make it simpler? But it is making that choice to make some changes. I really do believe everybody has it.
You know, and one other area, and because I know a couple of people that are listening to the show who travel a lot. They are road warriors.
Right.
Now, how do you help them when they go to a place and their banquets and their food's chosen for them and everything is there? What are simple things that they can do to prepare for situations like that?
Right. I get this a lot. I think you and I have even talked a lot about this, and I hear this a lot. So a lot of my clients are busy. They travel for business or pleasure, and sometimes they start with, like, I can't do anything. You know, I'm at the whim of a conference or something. You know, there's some things that you can do. It takes a little extra work. You can do this. You can look ahead. Where are you going to be staying? Where are you going to be eating? If you're out with a group of people, you have a choice of where to go, or maybe you're, you know, being invited to a restaurant, you know, as part of a business dinner, you know, take a look at the menu ahead of time. Make some strategic choices. I often tell people, you know, pack stuff that's going to be good to snack on, whether that's dried fruit, dried nuts, put it in your suitcase. You're staying in a big enough city, find out where the healthy grocery store is. stock up some things for your fridge, see what's there, and be prepared. It's a lot about being prepared, like the Boy Scouts say, right? Be prepared. Mm-hmm. It's going into the situation, and that can take a little extra effort and time, but it really can be worth it. That, to me, again, goes back to the choice. You could choose to rush in and be overwhelmed, or kind of fall prey to the overwhelm and the rush, or just take a few minutes just to really look. Okay, I'm going to have time when I get off the plane. I'm going to have a couple of hours to myself. I'm going to go to the local Whole Foods, and I'm going to pick up some healthy snacks to keep in my room and to have with me for this meeting, because I know it's all going to be, you know, bagels and soda or something like that. A little extra effort, you can do that. And the good news is that so many places now, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a conference center, resort, they're catering to people with, you know, with dietary needs, whether it's, you know, healthy, lower calorie choices, that sort of thing, gluten-free choices, just about everywhere. And it can be relearning that you could step up and ask. Just ask some questions, and chances are, especially like if you're at a big meeting, just thinking about people going to conferences and things, you're not the only one there with that issue. Someone else is going to want a plate of fruit, you know, in addition to the Danish, something like that. So you have a little more power than you might think in a lot of situations, and it's a question of tapping into that and stepping into that, and as part of your own self-care. This is the way I'm going to take care of myself. It's not just, you know, when I'm at home in my house and everything is perfect. You know, it can also be on the road. It can be at your office, your place of business, at school, wherever. How you can make those choices. It is, you know, an ongoing process. It is a practice. That's something I'm also very clear about. It's a practice to keep doing this and do it every day, you know. You know, that's how we learn to play a musical instrument. It's, you know, you learn to play a sport. Whatever else you're trying to, it's a practice. You don't just do it and you're done and it's perfect and everything is great. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it every day. The small steps again every day.
And I think when you make simple choices, it gets easier the more you progress in things. And, you know, one of the things, the reasons when I came to you and why I brought up the travel is because that's one of the things that started off with when I first started meeting with you, is I travel. I traveled at that time about 70% of the time. And I've often shared that kind of experience that I would always have grabbed the bagel, grabbed the croissant, 45 minutes later to a tea, I'd be tired and exhausted, looking for coffee and finding out that, wow, carbs such as bagels in the morning aren't really energetic for me. So I started trying to figure out what does. And most people would say protein bars are disgusting. They taste like chalk. Well, they've come a long way, and there are so many different options out there for you, from the organic kind that only has 3 different ingredients in it, or if you still want, you know, something else, you have those options. But for me to grab an apple in the morning is easier than it is for me to grab a bagel. And a store or the hotel I'm usually staying at offers some of those choices. So it's going prepared knowing that I was going to come into those types of challenges, that it really helped me to have some kind of, I don't want to call exit route, but alternative plan to what it was. And so that, to me, was one of the key things for being able to take a look at the food choices and saying it doesn't have to be all or nothing. An apple's very sweet. You start off your day with something pretty sweet, or you start off with a banana. You're going to have the energy. And I still will have my cup of coffee, but that's my choice. Most of the time I only drink water. But anyway, it's 1:30 already. So I just want to give our listeners a reminder that if they have any questions or want to challenge anything that we're talking about, we welcome it, and we welcome you to call in at 646-716-9397, and you can still find us on Twitter at Coach Host Radio. If you want to share anything, please use hashtag Gaining Perspective. Coming up tomorrow on Life Coach Radio Network is Tracy Pierce, as she interviews Feng Shui expert Melody LeBaron. Her show is tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, the next show of Gaining Perspective will be on January 23rd. And in keeping up with the kicking the resolution habit and making sustainable changes, I'll be interviewing Steve Gutman, owner of Mind Body Dynamics, on the power of mindfulness in all aspects of your life. And one more thing that I'd like to bring your attention to is the host of Life Coach Radio Network, Life Coach Chat, and Life Coach International Radio Network are going to be hosting a two-day workshop in New York City. Please go to our website at www.lifecoachradionetworks.com and sign up to come to our workshop, which will be February 8th and 9th. You can find us on Eventbrite also. So the early registration prices are about to run out by the end of this week, so get yourself signed up and come check out the host of the show. I'll be hosting a session on focusing on how you say it. The power of words you choose are going to determine your success or your failure. So if you want to learn how you can be successful at everything you do, you're going to learn how to use the right words to keep you in the right mindset to move forward and reach those goals and make it easy for you. So let's get back to our show, Bernadette. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to take that moment. What I wanted to start talking a little bit about the exercise. And one of the things, and the reason why, because as I started off saying, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you, and asking me why not. And for her audience, I decided when I was working with Bernadette that I was going to try to run a 5K. And after I did that and I was excited I had done that, she had asked me, well, why don't you do a 10K? Because there was one coming up in our area, and I said, I can't run a 10K. And she simply looked at me and said, why not? And I didn't have an answer. And I think this is like my favorite story because I tell this all the time to so many people. And it's actually helped me create another business. But since I did not have an answer of why I couldn't, I wasn't physically unable to do it. I didn't have any injuries that were preventing me from doing it. I just didn't believe in myself to do it. And because that was the only thing that was stopping me, the next day I went, and instead of running 3 miles, I ran 4. And then I did the 10K, and then I did an 8-miler, and here I am 2 marathons later, 10 half marathons, multiple 5Ks, 10Ks, and everything. I never would have done it if it wasn't for her asking me, well, why not? So, and I use that quite often when talking with other people, and it's amazing how that happens. So let's talk about movement. Why do people think that it's so difficult?
Yeah, well, I want to thank you, first of all, Andrea, for bringing that up again. I also love that story, and use it a lot because you were awesome. You took up the challenge, and that's exactly what I like to see. Because we all need someone to ask that question, why not? What's stopping you? How high? Go, do it. So thank you. People get overwhelmed. Again, it comes back to overwhelm. Our lives are really busy and complicated now. For a lot of people, I think, especially as you get older, you know, whether it's work, families, children, you know, relationships, everything. That's pretty complicated. And it can be daunting to start that. The thing that I always tell people is just start where you are. Take a walk around the block at lunchtime. You know, walk in your office park if you are, you know, in the middle of nowhere. Bring your sneakers, pack it, you know. Walking, I go to walking because it's really the easiest thing you can do. It doesn't really require any equipment besides, of course, a good pair of sneakers. And it's free. That's a good thing. You don't have to belong to a fancy gym or have, you know, complicated equipment or spend a lot of money or even too much time. Again, I think it's people who are afraid to get out of their comfort zone and to make that kind of a change because it involves letting go, maybe, of an old self, whether it's the food that we eat or the activities that we do. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, I think especially women, I would say, and women of a certain age, I'd say a lot of women of my age, were not really encouraged to be athletic or to be physical, you know, at a certain point. But I think it's really important to tap into that kind of inner athlete, even if your sport is, you know, power walking in the mall. Whatever you're doing, to do it, and just keep doing it. Find something that you love to do and do it. And the reasons are really plain why it's so important. I mean, movement and exercise, of course, helps beat stress, helps keep us calm and focused, burns calories, keeps us strong and flexible and engaged, gets the blood going, makes you feel sexy and, you know, that you're using your body. A lot of people get out of touch with their body you know, the physical body. You know, it's not just something, you know, it's the thing that carries us, you know, through this life, and we want to take really good care of it because it's what we need to do to get around here on planet Earth. And it can really help to stave off disease, of course, you know, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes. There's so many things that just simple exercise, movement can really, really do. It's so critical, and I would say it's especially critical for people like over 40, over 50, and I really believe it's never too late to get started. Really important to find something that you love and to do it, and to just keep doing it. Now's a great time to get it, you know, to get started. And there's so many things that you can figure out to do at home with very little equipment. Is getting to a, you know, I try to give people no excuse. You know, you don't belong to a gym. There's a lot you can do at home or, you know, in a public park or something like that. So finding that, and again, I really work to hold people accountable. If you have limited movement, no excuses. You know, sit in your chair and, you know, learn some yoga moves or learn some stretching or dance in your chair. You know, just put on loud music and dance while you're cleaning the house. I'll take it. That's a good thing. Get moving. Really important.
Yeah, it's funny. It's true. Just getting moving is pretty much all that it takes to do something. And you know, what I find mostly interesting is the emotional attachment to when it comes to get moving. You know, you find that people who, when they're the happiest, everything's going right, they want to feel good, they'll turn down that junk food, and they'll want to go for a walk or go to the gym and anything like that. But if they're upset about something, they don't have the energy to make those decisions. And what is your thought on the difference of when someone is feeling good versus someone that's really an emotional downturn in their life, let's say things aren't going very well? Do you think exercise makes a difference? And if so, how much?
I think that, yes, it's a really good point. I like that you added that in. I think that movement and exercise can make a huge difference for people. It gets you sort of flip at once out of yourself and into the present moment and into, kind of into yours, tuning into your body as opposed to just sitting into grief maybe or sadness. You know, getting the endorphins flowing, getting the blood going, kind of getting yourself moving, getting outdoors if that's possible, can be a huge, huge, huge help. People do need to get moving in some way. You know, really for the most part, I would say. A lot of people have that downturn. Some people also go into very kind of manic, frenetic activity when they're feeling sad and feeling grieving. It's like pushing it away. So they may need to slow down. But most people, I think, need to really get moving and just tune into that side of themselves, to tune into their physicality can really, really be important. One thing I want to just say about sadness and grief, most people experience it, and it can be, you know, it can be debilitating. One thing that I've seen with the people I've worked with over time is that sometimes people haven't necessarily given themselves the time or get the help and care that they need to recover from a trauma or a loss, whether it's the loss of a spouse or a job or a home, or even just a big life transition like retiring or something like that. Sometimes people are still kind of stuck in the past. They're stuck in that trauma, and they need to kind of bring that forward and have the awareness of it and see how their eating and their movement habits are tied in with that. Now they can get through it. I'm not a therapist. I don't pose as one at all, but I really try to kind of bring that to the fore so that people, you know, we can work on it to the extent that we can in our counseling work, in food counseling work, and they can maybe get some other help to really work through that. I've just found that people have sped over that maybe a little too fast, and they need to, you know, get with it and then be able to move forward with it, if that makes any sense.
No, it absolutely does, because I think so often we don't realize how we attach our emotions to every aspect of our life, and how when we're upset, we choose not to do something because we just don't have the energy. Because when you're sad, you're down, you're tired, you're blue, whatever it might be, you're depressed, and it just it's twice as hard to get out there and do something. And if you go out there, sometimes with the people that I have worked with in their past, is that if they try to do the exercise, if they try to go to a gym, if they try to go for a run or for a walk, it just, they feel like they're failing at that too, because they can't do it. And so then they give up on themselves. And so it's just a matter of, emotions play such a big role in your health, whether it be physical health, it be mental health, or it be eating health. Everything that you do has an emotional attachment with it somehow, or a mental attachment. You know, I'll even say, like, when someone's angry, you get into a fight with your partner, your boss yells at you, you did something wrong, you get a ticket, you know, your washing machine breaks, or, I mean, think about it. How often do you hear people say, oh, I've had such a bad day, I just want to drink and drown my sorrows, you know, just forget about this day, right? And I think about, and I remember there was a time I was so angry, I'm like, I got to go for a run. And I went out there so hard and so fast because I was just so angry. And I was like, I need something to let it go. And it was probably one of the worst runs in my life I ever had. And I was just so angry about that. And it kind of snowballed. But at the same time, it was you got out there, you know, you're relieving it in some way, shape, or form. So how, with all that being said, how do you help your clients or people understand that whether they're upset or angry or tied to something, frustrated, tired, how do you take them from a bad habit of grabbing the gallon of ice cream and chocolate bars and Snickers and Milky Ways or whatever it be to go off for McDonald's and start thinking about go for a walk?
Right. It can be a challenge. Again, it is changing habits. And the way to do it is to do it, like Nike says, to just do it, is to stop, to pause. What am I really feeling right now? What do I really need right now? You know, is this gallon of ice cream really going to do it? What am I really feeling sad about now? And then how can I take care of myself in this moment? Maybe someone's feeling really uptight, really stressed out, really anxious. What might feel great at that moment, instead of the choice of sitting on the couch eating lots of ice cream, can be, how nice would it be to be in a yoga class? You know, how nice might it be just to be around soothing music, moving slowly, deep breathing. Breathing is a tool that can really, really help just about every situation. It sounds so basic. We do it all the time. We don't even think about it. But really just stopping, pausing, focusing on your breath, getting back to yourself right now, you know, really tuning into yourself at the moment and coming back to your present, can really help you clarify. Again, it's a practice. The more you do it, what you're really needing, what you're really feeling, and what's maybe an alternative to the issue facing you, whether it's anger, whether it's sadness, whether it's fear, anxiety, hunger, what is really going on right now? And then to make a healthy choice. And to build on small successes. If you want to get movement into your life, how good is it going to feel if you do that? If you made a promise to yourself and a promise to your health coach, you're going to be getting to the gym 3 times a week. Having a bad day, but you know what? I'm going to get there, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that for myself. I promised myself, you know, my coach is holding me accountable here. I can do that. I'm going to accomplish that. If I can't change the world, I can't change the situation, I'm at least going to go do that and give myself this hour or give myself this half hour or take a walk and let off some steam. So it really is a gift you can give yourself. And, again, it's just kind of remembering that you want to feel good. I always want to get people tuned into feeling good. It sounds so simple, you know. But
Absolutely. Tuning
into feeling good and feeling joy. What can I do in this moment to make myself feel incrementally better? Not just like running away from a problem in that way, you know. Not just, you know, is that ice cream really going to make you feel better? No, you're going to regret it. You're going to feel lousy. Your pants aren't going to fit, and you're going to start that whole cycle again. How can I really feel good? How can I feel better and move toward that? and see what that is. And that could mean, you know, in the more extreme or complex matters, that could mean, you know, talking to a health professional, you know, getting some other, you know, getting pastoral counseling. It could mean something more than that to help ease your issues. But again, I think people have a lot more control than they might think, and they have the tools right there. Going back to the breath, really important. And I'm also it's just reminding me in my mind, you know, I'm also a big proponent these days of mindfulness and meditation. Again, slowing it down, tuning into your breath, coming back to yourself to help you get some clarity, to see what's really going on and what you might really be feeling, and to kind of stretch it out so that you can accomplish what you need to do and not just be reactive all the time. We don't want to be just exploding, reacting, you know, responding all the time, even when life is busy and chaotic around us.
Yeah, I love that you say that. And there are a couple of things that you mentioned, and actually one of them in particular about the mindfulness and coming back to your breathing, and that you've gotten into the meditative thing. I am one of those people, and I'm sure many of our listeners are going to say the same thing I am about to say. I am not good at meditating. There's too much head chatter going on for me to do that. But at the same time, if I give a piece of advice to anybody that's listening about when there's too much head chatter going on, let it happen. The thing is just sit there in the moment. Don't run away from what all that head chatter is. So in my example of saying that, oh, I just need a drink, you know, it's like I just want to get that out there. Or if I want that tub of ice cream, let's say, what is this tub of ice cream going to do for me? Oh, it's going to taste really good, but the moment I eat all of this, I'm going to feel really sick. And then I'm going to be upset that I feel really sick. And then so is the whole concept that I've learned through many processes of going down this road is the moment you want to do something that is answering an emotion, but it relates to poor health choices, is ask, what is it solving? What is it? Is it going to make the problem go away? Or is it just going to end up, in the end, adding another problem? Is it going to taste really good? In your mouth, it's going to taste so delicious, and you're going to want so much more, and you're going to be so glad you did it. But then later on, you're going to feel sick from it. So what is that going to do for you later on when you feel sick from it? Because when you feel sick from it, then you're going to feel guilty that you did it. And then when you feel guilty that you did it, you're going to get down on yourself of how you're not strong enough. Talk yourself through.
That's how that whole downward spiral starts. You want that spiral to go upward. You want that to be going up, doing things that make us feel better and better and better and better.
Exactly. So it's that emotional, it's understanding that if there's a simple tip that I can give as part of this call is follow the understanding of why you want this and what is going to be the end result when you're done with it. And that, like, to me, that's what the way I look at it is saying that this is what it comes down to. And that's something that you really taught me to do, is what is it that's attached to this? And, you know, my life went from being in a really strange place to being in a really wonderful place in the few months that we were working together.
Right.
You know, it's like, wow. And ever since then, it kept going up and up. So I'm a very lucky person with the way things have gone for me. And the changes that I've made and the things that I've incorporated. But the thing that I love the most is that I don't turn to you to hold me accountable, as I said, 6 years later on things. I find my way of finding other ways of being held accountable. So the month of January, I decided I'm not going to have a drop of alcohol. And to hold myself accountable to it, I posted on Facebook that I'm not going to drink any alcohol for the month of January. So when anybody that who sees me that knows me on Facebook that knows that I posted that, ask me, how's it going? And so now I'm accountable to the hundreds of people that are on Facebook for it.
Right. That's great. You're building your tribe there and your community. Yeah. It doesn't have to be just one person. You can involve a lot of people in your life because I think there is help there. People don't realize it, you know. For the most part, you can find supporters and help, you know, who can help you be accountable. And it's finding the positive ones, not the enablers who are going to bring you down. You want to stay away from them and learn how to deal with them. But, yeah, you're doing it. You know, you've taken it and just taken it to the nth degree, which is so awesome and gratifying to see. You're a great example. That's what makes you a great coach.
Thank you. So with that, I think that we're coming in on the closing of our hour, Bernadette.
Already?
So,
one up here, man.
We didn't even get through half the stuff that I wanted to talk to you about.
I know,
either.
There's lots to discuss. I'll come back.
But absolutely, I'll have you back anytime. And but what's most important is that I really hope that people have seen the benefit of what you could do for them. And it doesn't matter where they live in this country. I want them to know how they could get a hold of you. And just, you know, if they're interested in talking to you, how they could talk to you on the phone, via email, or whatever it is. So please share with my audience your website, your Facebook page, Twitter, everything that they could find a way to communicate with you. And also give us some closing thoughts of today's conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Yes, my website, my website is www.shininglife.com, shininglifenutrition.com. You can sign up for my email newsletter, which I send out periodically. I'll also be posting some events that I'm doing locally. If you're in the Essex County, New Jersey area, come on in. You can reach me by phone at 917-282-2623. Would love to set up a time to chat. I do work by phone and by Skype, so distance is not a barrier to working together. And we can set up a time. I'd like to give people the chance to just bounce off some ideas, some challenges, and some of your goals, and see how we can might be able to work together on different programs. Love Twitter, and I can be reached at Bern, B-E-R-N, Armiento, A-R-M-I-E-N-T-O, my abbreviated first name and last name. And on Facebook, I have a business Facebook page under Shining Life Nutrition. I like to post recipes, deep thoughts, humorous activities there, and we'd like to get some good discussion going about ways that you're looking to make your life shine. That's really what I want to do. Again, as I said before, people feel bad a lot of the time. People are hard on themselves, especially I think women in this day and age. And I want people to really start feeling good and doing good. You have a lot to offer, and it's really important that people tune in and take care of themselves, whether you're raising a family, have a demanding job, or all of the above. Really important to make time for yourself and figure that out. The way I work with people is I kind of start with food. That's the jumping off point. And focus on other areas of your life that might be out of balance and how to bring them into balance. Creating a customized program that's going to work for you with the way your lifestyle is, your family situation, your dietary needs. What's going to make you happy? What's going to make your life shine? That's what we're really going to figure out. And to give you the support and the accountability and the resources that you need to kind of take yourself to the next level, maybe to meet some goals that you have, maybe to check off some of the items on your bucket list of life that you still have time to get going and you want to feel really good and sexy and fit and healthy to do that. We can get you there, and love to talk to you about how to make that happen. So reach out to me, as I said, via the website, Facebook, Twitter, or love to hear from you and love to hear your thoughts on this conversation. And Andrea, I really want to thank you again for having me here. It's so great to hear what you're doing and that the way you're shining these days. It's great.
Thank you so much. And I really, really enjoyed having you on here today, and definitely will have you back so we could do a check-in. And hopefully our listeners that were on today will come back again so they could really start thinking about accountability. Well, I'm going to have to listen to that show again, and am I going to meet up to the standards I set my goals for myself while listening to the show today? So I think that might be something good for our listeners. Set your goals that you want to be accountable for. Make simple choices. Don't do an all or nothing. Make one simple choice that will turn into two, three, and let that wheel become something big for you, not small and bringing you down. So, again, thank you so much for everything today. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and are now focused on that path to getting where you want to be in life. And remember, kick the resolution habit. Set lifelong goals with simple, smart changes. If you have any ideas or suggestions that you would like to hear on Gaining Perspective, you could email me at Andrea, at newperspectivescommunication.com. You could find me on Facebook. You could find me on LinkedIn at the sound of the same name, New Perspectives Communication. And on Twitter, my handle is @HowYouSayIt. So again, thank you so much for being here, and I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. So have a great day.
Thanks and shine on, everybody. Bye-bye.